When I was a child, I probably have to say Christmas was my favorite holiday. All of the lead up to it, we had an old, battered Advent calendar. Prior to the time, well, at least in our place, in our circumstance, prior to the time where there was anything in it except a little picture. So our kids have Advent calendars now that they get toys each day. We just had the joy of seeing the picture that we saw 12 months earlier. We had an Advent calendar that ticked down the days leading up to Christmas. So very exciting for us. Of course, Christmas Eve was a big deal around our household, with my father being a pastor serving two churches, two services between the two, and they'd flip-flop, and so what schedule are we on this year, and where are we going to be late, and all those sorts of things. Christmas morning came and was so very exciting. Loved Christmas. Over the years, Easter has grown on me, in particular after the long, hard winter days and weeks. It is nice to celebrate new birth and excitement of the spring coming as well. Easter eventually became my mother's favorite holiday, and so that has a special tone for me as well. But with all of that being said, what I have found as I have grown up a bit is my absolute favorite holiday is coming up on Thursday. I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving for a number of different reasons. First of all, I get to do three things that I love to do. I get to eat as much as I possibly want of really good food. And I'll tell you, my wife loves to cook Thanksgiving dinner, and she does a darn good job at it too. So we eat really well on Thanksgiving. And the thing, as much as I love the Thanksgiving meal, if you've talked to me at all, you know that my favorite meal on Thanksgiving is not actually the big meal that usually at our house takes place around 1 or 2 o'clock. It's later in the evening, once that's finally settled, making a turkey sandwich. Basic turkey sandwich, white bread, toasted, Miracle Whip, you mayonnaise people can keep your mayonnaise, lettuce, all that stuff. Oh, it's making my mouth water right now. I love to eat on Thanksgiving. I love to watch football on Thanksgiving. I know some of you enjoy that as well. I love that football starts at about noon or so, and it doesn't end until like 12 hours later. There's a game going constantly. This is one of those wonderful years where my team actually happens to be playing on Thanksgiving in the evening, which is pretty exciting stuff. I love watching football. I don't really care who it is that's playing. I just like watching Thanksgiving football. And I'm thankful for the people who give up their time with their families to entertain me by playing football for the day. I really appreciate that. The other thing that I absolutely love is I love Thanksgiving naps. There's nothing like a Thanksgiving nap. The turkey-fed nap that happens sometime in the afternoon where your eyes just become heavier than you could ever imagine lifting. And sometime during one of those games I don't care too much about, I doze off and whatever happens, happens. I'm in la-la land and I'm happy as can be. I love those things. But perhaps the biggest reason that I have come to love Thanksgiving more than any other holiday is because more than any other holiday, there are absolutely no responsibilities for me that day. I have nothing that I have to do. This year's a little bit different. Since Ashley's recovering, I'm going to have to get up early and put the turkey in and pull the turkey out. I'll make that sacrifice. But I don't have to get anybody a gift. I don't have to do a service. All I have to do is those three things I love to do. I just have to sleep, eat, and watch football. And what could be much better than that? I love Thanksgiving. With that note, I think it's good to talk a bit about giving thanks, which I want to do with you today. A story is told about a man who had been lost and walking in the desert for about 5 days. Finally, he makes his way to the home of a preacher. He's weak and he's worn, and he crawls up to the house, and he eventually collapses right there at the doorstep. The preacher opens the door to find him there, takes him in, and he nurses him back to health. After a few days, the man is feeling better, and he's ready then to continue his journey. He asks the preacher to point him to the nearest town. The preacher not only gives him direction, he even offers to lend him his horse in order to make the journey. However, there's something you need to know about this horse, the preacher explains. You see, you have to say thank God to make him go, and amen to make him stop. Intrigued but anxious to get to town, the man says, "Sure, okay," and he gets on the horse. After expressing his gratitude to the preacher, the traveler hollers, "Thank God!" And sure enough, the horse starts walking. A bit further down the trail, he says even louder, "Thank God! Thank God!" And the horse starts to trot a little bit. Feeling a bit more brave, the man says, "Thank God! Thank God! Thank God!"
and the horse is soon up to a full gallop. Soon thereafter, the man realizes that he's heading for a huge cliff, and he yells, "Whoa!" But the horse doesn't slow down. The cliff is getting closer and closer, and he's doing everything he can to make the horse stop. "Whoa, stop, hold on," he yells. And finally, he remembers the preacher's instructions. "Amen," he shouts. The horse stops a mere 2 inches from the cliff's edge, almost throwing the man over its head. Panting and heart racing, the man wipes the sweat from his face, leans back in the saddle. "Oh," he says, gasping for air, "thank God." Thank God. Two words I am sure most of us have said on numerous occasions throughout our lives. At the receipt of good news, thank God. When we're feeling relieved, thank God. Even feeling exasperated, thank God. At times, simply the only words that will come to our mind and to our lips. At other times, the most heartfelt words we could imagine uttering. Thank God. In a few short days, we will gather with our family and with our friends in the spirit of thanksgiving to direct our gratitude to the source of all that is good and all that is right, to join one another in saying, thank God. Giving thanks, especially to God, is one of the most common themes in all of Scripture. The word thank, or some version thereof, appears 133 times in the Old and New Testaments. It is no secret that God is the source of all that is good, and that we should be grateful to God for all that we are and for all that we have. Amidst the myriad exhortations to give thanks to God in Scripture, we find this gem we heard read today in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians: give thanks in all circumstances. These verses come at the end of the letter, and they are Paul's final words of exhortation and encouragement to the people in the church of Thessalonica. Paul wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians while he was staying in Corinth, and as a means to prepare them for a visit from his protege Timothy. The Thessalonians were Gentile converts to Christianity who lived in an important Roman-occupied commercial and cultic center that was extremely loyal to the empire. So life as a Christian in Thessalonica was anything but easy. Members of the church there faced constant derision and persecution. Other citizens loyal to Rome and the many religious cults of the day saw those Thessalonian Christians as subversive and disloyal, and they sought to make life difficult for them at every turn. And so it is to those suffering church members that Paul wrote, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Paul knew from personal experience how important it is to maintain a spirit of joy and gratitude in the face of opposition and suffering, due to the religious persecution or otherwise. This was Paul's encouraging of the phrase, thank God, in every circumstance. It is no trite, God must have done meant this to happen, so be sure to say thank you. No, to be clear, that sentiment and others like it can be just as, if not more, injurious than any circumstance that would draw it out as a response. No, rather, give thanks in all circumstances is a powerful theological statement about God's sovereignty and God's grace. That at all times, and in the midst of all situations, the good, the bad, and the ugly, those who believe, those who trust, those who have faith, can utter the simple phrase, thank God, from the very depths of their being, and they can mean it. Not in light of the particular situation, but rather in acknowledging the one who in all things works for good for those who love him. After the birth of a child, of course, thank God. But after the death of a loved one, still, Thank God. There is no more cancer. Of course. Thank God. The cancer has spread. Still. Thank God. A promotion or raise, of course. Thank God. A pink slip. Still. Thank God. At a wedding reception, of course. Thank God. When the divorce papers are served. Still. Thank God. Viktor Frankl once wrote about his experience in a Nazi concentration camp. We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. For we do not give thanks ultimately for the provision or for the situation. Rather, we give thanks to God, who provides and who is faithful. And in doing so, we get a glimpse, if not in the moment, then at some point, of that bigger picture, of the movement of history, the reconciling work of God in and through Jesus Christ, the one who will wipe away every tear, the one who gives us the strength to say thank God in all circumstances. While on a short-term mission trip, a pastor by the name of Jack Hinton was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. A woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around. "It was the most hideous face I had ever seen," Hinton said. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, "Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?" Overcome with emotion, Hinton left the service. He was followed by a team member who said, "I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." "Yes, I will," he replied, "but I'll never sing it the same way." Thank God. In all circumstances, all circumstances. Not just on one day or during one month. Not just when you are overcome with joy or humility. But in all circumstances. Because our God is a God of all circumstances, and our God is good all of the time. As we gather with family this Thursday, or if we are alone, as the holidays ahead bring about joy and excitement, or as they bring down the weight of despair, when you pause to count your many blessings, or when no blessings come to mind, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.